Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and we're going to resume with our examination of the reemergence of German fascism and extreme nationalism. We've been relying on information in this series on a pamphlet entitled Reunited Germany, the New Danger. That's put out by the publishers of Searchlight magazine, a British anti-fascist publication, in cooperation with Antifa Infoblatt, a German anti-fascist publication and activist organization. What we're going to look at next, by the way, in the past, we've taken a look at the continuity between the old German armed forces under Hitler and the new German armed forces of the, quote, new, unquote, Germany. Note the quotes. We've taken a look at the continuity between German military, economic, and political policy, in particular as regards the former Warsaw Pact countries and the countries that emerged from the former Soviet Union. And we've also taken a look at continuity between official German government policy and the activities of so-called neo-Nazis and neo-Nazi organizations. And again, if that's if those elements of continuity that I've just described seem preposterous or far out or incredible, please get a hold of the other segments in this series and also examine the information sources that are recommended. And I think it will provide you with more than enough documentation. Where we're going to look at next is the role in German imperialism vis-a-vis Eastern Europe and the former Soviet Union of the Vertriebene groups, specifically the BDV, the Bunde Vertriebene. The Vertriebene groups are extreme right-wing organizations whose genesis goes back to the SS. They are funded by the German government, and they are perhaps the most profound element, direct above-ground element of political continuity from the Third Reich to the present, quote, new, unquote, Germany. Also, before we begin the actual text here, take note of an organization called the VDA. That's the Verein für das Deutsche im Ausland, and we're going to take a look at that organization, a Third Reich organization, actually begun before the Third Reich, but incorporated into the very core of Third Reich policymaking bodies. And that is an organization that has not only been revived, but is being funded and utilized by the German government in 1995. Of the Vertriebene, in a section called the BDV role, the pamphlet Reunited Germany, the New Danger comments as follows. These powerful organizations of Vertriebene, with strong links to Helmut Kohl's ruling Christian Democratic Union and its coalition, or CDU, and its coalition partner, the Bavarian Christian Socialist Union, or CSU, reap an annual cash as well as a propaganda harvest from the German state. The best known of the ex-Ballet lobbies are the 2.3 million strong Bunde Vertriebene, or BDV, founded in 1958, and the shadowy Verein für das Deutschland Deutschem im Ausland, or VDA, whose roots extend back into turn-of-the-century German imperialism. Both the BDV and VDA receive millions of DM, and that's Deutschmarks, of course, beginning again, both the BDV and VDA receive millions of Deutschmarks in funding from the official Bonn and state governments. In the federal German budgets for 1993 and 94, an estimated 232 million Deutschmarks and 200 million Deutschmarks, respectively, was allotted to a vast array of East European German organizations lumped together in the budget documents under the heading Inner German Relations, unquote. And, of course, some of the German relations they are alluding to are German relations in parts of Europe that are not part of Germany. Continuing with Reunited Germany, the New Danger. Resuming with this last sentence. In the federal German budgets for 1993 and 94, an estimated 232 million Deutschmarks and 200 million Deutschmarks, respectively, were allotted to a vast array of East European German organizations lumped together in the budget documents under the heading Inner German Relations, unquote. Among these organizations are the Federation of Middle Germans, the Pomeranian Central Council, the Great German Institute, the Silesian Cultural Council, and the Federal Institute for East German Culture. The BDV, its 49 front and subsidiary organizations, and the VDA were estimated in 1992 to have netted more than 150 million Deutschmarks for their activities, which included the establishment of supposed cultural centers, quote-unquote, in those East European countries with German minorities, and, quote, humanitarian, unquote, support for these minorities in East Europe. Some observers of Germany's growing power link the expansion of these cultural centers in Eastern Europe with the intensified activities of the Federal German Secret Service, the Bundesnachrichtendienst, or BND, whose former chief, coincidentally, is now Kohl's deputy and foreign minister, Klaus Kinkel. Of course, the BND grew directly out of Hitler's Eastern Front Intelligence Organization, Fremde Heere Ost, or Foreign Armies East. That organization was headed up by Wehrmacht Major General Reinhard Gehlen, Hitler's most important intelligence officer. That organization jumped to the CIA at the end of World War II and became, in effect, the CIA's Department of Russian and Eastern European Affairs. They, in turn, became the de facto NATO intelligence organization and the BND, which they are to this day. And unfortunately, that organization retains much of its Nazi character. And note again that many of the so-called cultural centers in around the world are actually fronts for BND activity. We've dealt with that situation in the past, specifically in some of our broadcasts with Professor Wilhelm Stauffer of Stauffer Consultants. Note again that the current German Foreign Minister, Klaus Kinkel, used to head up the BND, and as is the case with George Bush, former head of the CIA, you never reach the position of that kind of power with an organization, a major intelligence organization, and completely sever one's connections. The next segment of the Reunited Germany, The New Danger, deals with the Sudetenland, once upon a, actually, technically speaking, still part of Czechoslovakia, although it is looking more and more like eventually the Sudetenland may become part of Germany, at least economically, if not politically. Of the Sudetenland and German efforts at reincorporating it into a Grossdeutschland, Reunited Germany, The New Danger comments, the BDV and the VDA have a veritable web of high connections, beginning again, the BDV and VDA have a veritable web of connections in high places. The most important of these for the BDV, perhaps, is Eduard Lindner, deputy to Federal Interior Minister Manfred Konter. Lindner, from the Bavarian CSU, is a leading member of the Sudetendeutsche Landsmannschaft, or SL, affiliated to the BDV, which seeks restoration of the Sudetenland to Germany. Founding members of the SL included old Nazis and former SS men like Walter Becker, Friedrich Brehm, and Walter Hergel, H-E-R-G-E-L. And again, interrupting, note that the genesis of the Vertriebene groups goes back to the SS. And a note here, something else that we've dealt with in the past, namely the fact that Deputy Interior Minister Eduard Lindner of the SL, the Sudetendeutsche Landsmannschaft, is the German Interior Minister in charge with keeping neo-Nazis in check, a rather ironic situation in light of his affiliation with the SL. Returning to Reunited Germany, The New Danger. Lindner, who strangely has Interior Ministry responsibility for investigating Nazis, gave an exclusive interview to the fascist newspaper Junge Freiheit in which he boasted that Germany, quote, didn't need anyone's permission, unquote, to reunify. Junge Freiheit's contributors have included figures from the entire Nazi spectrum in Germany. Thanks to Lindner, the SL is well plugged into the Bonn government and can ask for and secure large grants, seemingly at will. These funds enable BDV component organizations like the SL, which, for example, openly displays its connection to the Nazi Sudeten German Witikobund, to function as Trojan horses for official German policy. They make demands which are extreme and, in turn, make Bonn's standpoint appear reasonable. And again, of the various Vertriebene groups, please note this. This is a very important element in German policy. They make demands which are extreme and, in turn, make Bonn's standpoint appear reasonable. In light of the obvious connections between the Bonn government and the Vertriebene groups, that is a very important connection to note. Note also Dr. Walter Becker, a fellow we've dealt with before in connection with the Witikoligue or Witikobund. We've dealt with the genesis of that organization, his activities, and his connections, profound connections they are, too, or were, to American fascists, including many American fascists involved in the assassination of President Kennedy. Continuing with Reunited Germany, The New Danger. At every annual gathering of the various ex-Belay groups, sometimes attended by up to 100,000 people, resolutions are passed and huge amounts of fascist, Nazi, and revanchist literature are sold. For example, a joint SL-Witikobund statement, dated Witzen, 1992, and rejecting the terms of the Friendship Treaty recognizing post-war frontiers signed between Germany and Czechoslovakia in February of 1992, was distributed at the SL's 1992 rally in Munich. Again, repeating that sentence. For example, a joint SL-Witikobund statement, dated Witzen, 1992, and rejecting the terms of the Friendship Treaty recognizing post-war frontiers signed between Germany and Czechoslovakia in February of 92, was distributed at the SL's 1992 rally in Munich. The statement, after referring to mass murder of Germans, unquote, goes on to demand the return of, quote, all German territory, unquote, and the, quote, right of self-determination, unquote, for the 100,000 Sudeten Germans still mainly resident in the Czech Republic. This stance found a ready echo on June 1, 1992, from no lesser figures than Bavarian Prime Minister Edmund Stoiber, S-T-O-I-B-E-R, and Federal German Finance Minister Theo Weigel, W-A-I-G-E-L, who has described the Friendship Treaty as, quote, a provocation, unquote, and underlined the CSU's uncritical backing for the SL's demands. Indeed, the Bavarian state government voted against the ratification of the treaty and later slapped in a claim for 130 billion Deutschmarks compensation for the expulsion of the Sudeten Germans. Of course, the Sudeten Germans were deeply involved with Third Reich covert operation. In the years leading up to World War II, German intelligence was deeply involved with agitprop operations, stirring up trouble among the Sudeten Germans. When the Czech government responded, the Germans claimed that the German minority was being oppressed, and this basically constituted the basis for German claims on Czechoslovakia, eventually resulting in the Munich Agreement and the annexation of all of Czechoslovakia. The Sudeten Germans wholeheartedly collaborated with the Third Reich's occupation of Czechoslovakia, and many of them were very active on behalf of some of the Nazi extermination programs, and were obviously a subversive element in Czechoslovakia. Note again the very obvious continuity between German governmental policy and the policy of the Vertriebene groups. Again, another frightening example of continuity between the supposedly respectable German government and the Nazi elements it supposedly distances itself from. Returning again to reunited Germany, the new danger. Of the demand on the part of the SL for 130 billion Deutschmarks compensation for property taken from the Sudeten Germans, the backing of that demand by Edmund Stoiber, the Bavarian Prime Minister, and Federal German Finance Minister Theo Weigel, we read, the end result was that in April of 1993, the German government was able to toughen its own position by adopting the relatively moderate policy of calling for compensation for property expropriated from the 3 million Sudeten Germans after the destruction of the Third Reich in 1945. And Czech Premier Václav Klaus was promptly forced to state publicly that these demands would be, quote, considered, unquote. He had little choice in the matter. The Czech Republic is already economically in the hands of Germany. German firms account for one-third of all foreign joint ventures, and for at least 80% of all foreign investments there. Now, since the breakup of Czechoslovakia, everything is once more in the balance, and the CSU is holding talks with the Slovaks to crank up the pressure on the Czechs in the hope of forcing a renegotiation of the treaty. All of this is known to the Bonn government, which itself turned down any suggestion of declaring Hitler's 1938 Munich Agreement null and void. With this background, coupled with a deliberate failure of the German government even to consider Czech claims for compensation for the victims of Nazi occupation, it is not surprising that Václav Klaus now regards the demands of the Sudeten German lobby, led by Munich banker Franz Neubauer, as, quote, non-negotiable, unquote. And again, in among other programs, the Wilhelm Stauffer interviews, as well as Radio Free America No. 2, and in particular Radio Free America No. 37, we dealt with German pressure on the Czech Republic on behalf of the demands of the Sudeten Germans. Again, a Third Reich collaborationist element. Once again, of complicity between the German government and the activities and demands of not only the various Nazi organizations, but also the SS-connected Vertriebene groups, we read in Reunited Germany, The New Danger, the Kohl government's complicity in these matters extends still further. State Secretary Horst Waffenschmidt also plays a notable role in assisting revanchist efforts and in covering over the blood-stained past. For example, he presented the Third Reich journalist and anti-Semite Dankwart Reisenberger with one of the Federal Republic's highest honors in October of 1991. It was also Waffenschmidt who demanded at the end of 1991 that Russian President Boris Yeltsin should immediately establish a German Volga Republic inside the new Confederation of Independent States. At a Bonn press conference at the time, Waffenschmidt called for schools to be founded, quote, to foster German language, culture, and traditions, unquote, in Russia. The press conference took place, very interestingly, soon after a German parliament decision to give $67 million to assist the creation of a Volga German Republic. While Lindner holds a key position amongst the Sudeten Germans, Waffenschmidt is active on behalf of the VDA and is a member of its administrative council. As we're going to see in a minute, the VDA was a Third Reich organization that has survived, as have unfortunately far too many Third Reich elements, into the era of the quote new unquote Germany. Continuing, of Horst Waffenschmidt, he, by the way, a junior interior minister. Since he took up his post and took up this post in 1989, the VDA has been awash with German government funds. Since 1989 alone, the VDA, which has only 16,000 members, has received 112.4 million Deutschmarks for undisclosed, quote, projects in the states of the former Soviet Union, unquote. Amongst this aid was a grant for 2 million Deutschmarks to provide German language dictionaries. At the end of 1990, according to the federal government's auditors, an emergency payment of 34.6 million Deutschmarks was transferred from federal funds to the VDA, quote, without following normal written application procedures, unquote. In scandal-racked Germany, State Secretary Waffenschmidt's official VDA slush fund operation went almost unmentioned. So, too, did the VDA's own shady past and distinctly unsavory present. Now, bear in mind, this is an organization that is funded by the German government. On its board, its administrative council has one junior interior minister, the aforementioned Horst Waffenschmidt. Now, reunited Germany, the new danger, describes the history of the VDA. The VDA was founded in 1908 and was incorporated into Hitler's Nazi Party in 1933. There, its role, according to Hitler's deputy Rudolf Hess, was, quote, to take exclusive responsibility for German national tasks outside Germany, unquote. Thanks to its devoted services to the Hitler dictatorship, the VDA was one of the first groups banned by the Allied powers in 1945 as a, quote, Nazi organization, unquote. One more time, this last sentence. Now, bear in mind, this is a German government-financed organization with members of the German government, actual junior ministers, sitting on its administrative council. Thanks to its devoted services to the Hitler dictatorship, the VDA was one of the first groups banned by the Allied powers in 1945 as a, quote, Nazi organization, unquote. Within 10 years, it had been refounded by old Nazis, an action described by the then-German Foreign Office as, quote, undesirable, unquote. In 1994, 4 years on from German reunification, all that is forgotten. The VDA is acceptable because its politics are essentially those of the German government. Thus, the German Parliament's Vice President, Hans Klein, can also take an active part in its administrative council. Sitting there, too, are such fascist luminaries as Rolf Sauerzopf, who prescribes as recommended reading to VDA members the Nazi Handwörterbuch des Grenz- und Auslanddeutschens, which was first published in Breslau in 1933, and which not only lists all German populations in the world, but is also loathsomely anti-Semitic. Another of Waffenschmidt and Klein's colleagues in the upper ranks of the VDA is the president of the fascist Österreichische Landsmannschaft, Helmut Kovarik, K-O-W-A-R-I-K, who edits the OL's organ, Eckartbutton, which also propagates nauseating anti-Semitism and claims that the Holocaust is, quote, evil propaganda, unquote. Now, again, these are activities, basically, the VDA, with these various people on it, on its administrative council, is funded by the German government. Continuing. In replies to highly detailed parliamentary questions, the federal government rejects the claim that the VDA is a hotbed of right-wing extremists, but is remarkably coy about its activities. On Poland, for example, on April 21st last year, the foreign ministry stated only that the VDA, quote, had on its own initiative made contact with the German minority and conducted a few projects, unquote. No information is given about these projects. More about the kind of projects that the VDA engages in. And by the way, we will also be looking at, and there's a sidebar about the VDA. Also discussed in this sidebar is the Hermann Niermann Foundation. That is a tax-deductible organization that has tax-deductible status granted by the German government that is engaged in agitating among the Germanic minorities in countries bordering on Germany. In a sidebar entitled Close-Up, we read more about the VDA. This is entitled VDA, New Evidence of Bonn Subversion. In December of 1994, dramatic new evidence of German government subversion was revealed in a highly detailed and well-documented 542-page book, Deutschem Erwache, Germanness Awake, by award-winning documentary producer Hans-Rudiger Minow, M-I-N-O-W, and Walter von Goldenbach, G-O-L-D-E-N-B-A-C-H, a pseudonym of an individual who has close German foreign ministry connections. Using hitherto secret documents, the authors prove that the revanchist Verein für das Deutsche im Ausland, or VDA, and another supposedly private body, the Dusseldorf-based Hermann Niermann Foundation, are not only financed to the tune of hundreds of millions of marks by the German government, but are also engaged in a continuous effort to undermine sovereign states with German minorities with the support of the foreign and interior ministries. To pursue these aims, German government officials and politicians sit in the same organizations as fascists and use Nazis to further agitation amongst German minorities. German policy, say the authors, backed by documentary evidence, is directed towards the formation of German enclaves, which can then demand special rights. The VDA, which they call a, quote, disguised front organization of German foreign policy, unquote, is one of the spearheads of this campaign. They date the intensified activity from 1990, the year Germany was reunited. The subversion is not limited to Eastern Europe. In Belgium, for example, it is revealed that fascists among the 168,000-strong German minority are in continuous and close contact with Bonn government officials. The vehicle for some of this activity is the Party of German-Speaking Belgians, or Belgians, or PDB, which demands autonomy for the German minority. In the past 6 years, the PDB and other German groups have been covertly paid 4,500,000 Deutschmarks from, among other sources, the Niermann Foundation, which has an estimated $100 million Deutschmarks of taxpayers' money at its disposal to further, quote, cultural work, unquote, but which also has had close ties to South Tyrol terrorists. The convicted Austrian Nazi terrorist Norbert Burger was a top Niermann Foundation advisor, although the organization is formally administered by the Interior Ministry of the state of Nordhausen-Rhine-Westphalen. In French Alsace, Nazi terrorists from the German minority, who firebombed the former Stutthof concentration camp, were defended by a lawyer whose fees were paid by the foundation. The disclosures about Belgium led in mid-December to fierce criticism from the Belgian press. Le Libre Belgique referred to pan-Germanism and its tentacles, unquote, while the Brussels Daily Standard said, quote, the colonization of German-speaking Belgium has already begun, unquote. There was also an exchange of diplomatic notes with the German ambassador in the Belgian capital and a strong protest from the mayor of Eupen, Belgian Senator Alfred Evers, E-V-E-R-S. And again, we've dealt with the Niermann Foundation in the past. Returning again to the main text of Reunited Germany, The New Danger, in a section entitled Iron Cross, we begin getting into a discussion of German agitation among German agitation in Silesia. That is currently part of Poland. However, German citizens have been granted dual citizenship, and as we shall see, Germany is making increasing demands on the Polish government vis-a-vis Silesia, comments that have prompted a rather ferocious response from Lech Walesa, something we have not heard about in the United States. Returning once again to Reunited Germany, The New Danger. However, some clues can be found about these activities. These, by the way, about the subversive activities of the VDA in neighboring countries. Both at governmental and street level, amongst the 350,000 population German minority in now Polish Upper Silesia. Activities which are now a matter of growing and public expressed concern on the part of the Polish authorities. Since the collapse of the communist regime in 1989, Upper Silesia has been the focal point of a campaign to rehabilitate the German Wehrmacht by erecting unauthorized memorials to Germany's Second World War dead with funding from German-based exile groups like Landsmannschaft Schlesien, which is part of the BDV. In the Opole district of Polish Silesia alone, 75 of these monuments have been erected since the beginning of 1993, describing the German fallen as, quote, heroes, unquote, and making liberal use of symbols like the Iron Cross, the familiar German steel helmet, and the Prussian eagle. The German minority, long denied the right to speak German or to retain their culture, are now the subject of manipulative agitation by fascists and other nationalist extremists. The German government has made no effort to curb or discourage these activities. In 1992, the Upper Silesian village of Diekowice, D-Z-I-E-W-K-O-W-I-Z-C-E, changed its name to Frauenfeld and almost overnight became a base for several members of the now banned Nationale Offensive, or NO. Though the NO's agitation only became public in the autumn, The groundwork had been laid as early as May of 1992 with a public meeting held in the town of Kadlub, K-A-D-L-U-B. The platform at that meeting, held on May 10th and sponsored by the revanchist group Verein der Forderung der Deutsch Prussischen in Medien in Osteuropa and by the fascist rag Schlesische Report, was like a who's who of top German Nazis. The main speaker was Bela Ewald Altans. Again, we've dealt with Ewald Altans in the past, alleged in an article in Der Spiegel to be an agent of the German Verfassungsschutz, a domestic German intelligence agency, protege of Otto Ernst Rehmer, and an individual who met with members of the Michigan Militia on one of his trips to North America. The Michigan Militia investigated in connection with the Oklahoma City bombing. No connections as yet legally, formally established. Continuing. The main speaker, once again, of this particular meeting, the main speaker was Bela Ewald Altans. Sharing the podium seats were Bielefeld skinhead Führer and Croatian mercenary Thomas Hanke and NO member Günter Boschütz. On sale at the meeting was an array of Nazi literature, including the book Deutschlands Ostgrenze, or Germany's Eastern Frontiers, by British Hitler fan and Auschwitz liar David Irving. Boschütz, later to be expelled and banned from Poland, was back again in October of 1994 in the town of Strzelce Opolski when he was arrested and deported. The expulsion of the Nazis from Silesia prompted calls from Polish President Lech Walesa to the German minority to obey the law, combined with a somber and serious warning addressed to Germany, quote, "If they want a war, they can have one." Walesa's words, which for some strange reason went virtually unreported in the world's media, were not empty rhetoric. German nationalist organizations had distributed huge quantities of propaganda material, including the newspaper Der Schlesier, ostensibly to maintain cultural identity, but in reality, to destabilize an already tense situation and revive German territorial claims. Naturally, the Poles had become very sensitive to developments within Germany, not least as a result of fascist violence directed at Polish citizens and on occasion against Polish frontier guards at the German-Polish border. As with the increasingly strident claims of the Sudeten Germans, all this is known to the administration in Bonn. They should know. The German ambassador in Warsaw has been summoned to the Polish foreign ministry to receive several protest notes since 1991. And again, note how little of that information has been discussed in the Western news media. We've been reading from Reunited Germany, The New Danger, a pamphlet available from the publishers of the Searchlight magazine, published in combination with the Antifa Infoblatt, a German anti-fascist publication. More about how to obtain Reunited Germany, The New Danger, and how to subscribe to the Searchlight follows.
To subscribe to the Searchlight, a British anti-fascist publication, write to Searchlight Magazine Limited, 37B New Cavendish Street, London, W1M8JR, or phone 011-4471-284-4040, or fax 011-4471-284-4410. That's the Searchlight Magazine Limited, 37B, New Cavendish Street, London, W1M8JR, phone 011-4471-284-4040, or fax at 011-4471-284-4410.
That, again, information on how to subscribe to the Searchlight, how to obtain Reunited Germany, The New Danger. I've made a number of references to various archive shows containing documentation for some of the lines of argument presented on this program. Those archive shows are available from a tape duplication service.
Tape cassettes of Dave Emery's archive documentaries and weekly One Step Beyond programs are available from a tape duplication service. The service is Archives on Audio, and you can contact them at Post Office Box 170023, San Francisco, California, 94117-0023. The phone number is area code 415-346-1840. Once again, that's P.O. Box 170023, San Francisco, California, 94117-0023. The phone number and area code are 415-346-1840. A 12-page catalog listing and describing each archive show is available.
That's now a 19-page catalog, and by the way, neither myself nor the station gets money out of this arrangement. This is set up FYI. That concludes this particular segment. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.